You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
It's coming up to 18 minutes after 12. Goldhawk Fights Back for You. That's what you're listening to right here on Zoomer Radio. There's a new thing going on out there in the marketplace. That new thing is called a virtual wallet. I don't know if it comes with virtual money in it or not. I'm not quite sure. It's a whole deal where you wave your cell phone to pay for things. That's kind of the basic part of it, but it has a lot of applications that go well beyond that. And I thought, I don't know what to make of this, pro or con, but I know who would be able to tell us all about it, and that would be Ann Cavoukian. You just heard her laugh a couple of minutes ago. She's the Information and Privacy Commissioner for Ontario. Very nice to have you back on Zoomer Radio, Ann.
Hi, Dale. I had to laugh at the virtual money. If you got some money out of this, that would be great.
I wouldn't mind. I like real money, though, as opposed to virtual money, I must say. Now, I'm right about that, right? Essentially, you'd be using your device, your BlackBerry, your iPhone, or your cell phone, and you would be using the near-field communications application in that phone in order to pay for things, right? That's the basic part.
Yeah, I mean, the theory is through your mobile device, an iPhone or Android or BlackBerry, you would download a program that would enable your device, your mobile device, to communicate with Starbucks or, you know, whatever place you're in where you want to buy a coffee. These are primarily intended originally for small purchases. You can't be bothered getting, you know, paying with cash. And so it would be so easy to do. Wouldn't it be great?
But you can do some of that right now.
You can do some of that right now.
Yeah.
They're looking to expand the breadth of the use of the digital wallet. And there's a lot of people, like in Canada, 56% of Canadians indicate that they prefer using electronic transaction services over cash, which is not surprising, and they're very interested in these developments. But the thing is, and there's only one really broad. Google Wallet, which is available in the U.S., can be used to have a number of credit cards on it and things. But generally speaking, each company, like RBC is going to be introducing a wallet in the fall.
Yeah,
With Rogers is going to be doing one in the fall. MasterCard has unveiled its digital wallet.
And they'll start out with their own cards and then expand to other cards as well, right, essentially?
That's right.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's exactly it. But the thing is, and these are the things that make me nervous. All of this involving what we call intermediaries. So you're not just dealing, it's not just you're using your Visa with your bank and with the store. There's going to be an intermediary who is the guy that does the app that would enable your mobile device to act as a digital wallet.
Yeah.
And what makes me nervous, because I'm a privacy person, is what do they do with all the information that they get? Because, you know, there's a wealth of information. Every time you use your credit card, you can imagine.
Well, they can literally track you day by day in terms of what you're buying and where you bought it, for crying out loud.
Yes, and that is the big concern I would have in terms of the marketing capability, the ability to pitch items to you. Now, if you want that, that's great. I mean, I have no problem with that. But there should be a very clear opportunity at the time you're signing up for the app to say no, to opt out of that kind of, built-in marketing that sounds like it's going to be a fait accompli, it's going to be a part of this. I know one person who was trying to sign up for one of these things, and he said, I couldn't even find where to opt out. It's just too hard.
To get out of it once you're in, you mean?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I listened to one comment from somebody from the Royal Bank, since they're first out of the gate to begin building their virtual wallet. They said but it's something, at least in terms of tracking you and that sort of thing, that could be turned off, Well, yeah, you can turn off the tracking device in your phone, but your information is still out there through your purchases.
That's right. And it's not easy to turn the tracking thing off either. You know, people say, well, you can do it. But doing it can be very difficult. And also, if you turn it off, then if you want to use your GPS for give me directions from here to there.
Yeah, it's off. Yeah, I know.
Off. That's no good. Then you got to turn it on. It's too confusing. The other big concern is security, of course. How accessible is the data? What is the app doing? Are additional third parties that we're unaware of, do they have access to your data?
Well, we have no way of knowing that. And you download an app, you don't know what's in the app.
I know.
I can't take it apart and look at it and tell you what's in it. I don't know.
Apps are, and this is the problem in terms of extending the existing payment system, which we're very comfortable, which is essentially between you, your service provider, be it RBC, CIBC, whoever, and the store you're buying from. That, we've gotten comfortable, and in that context, security is excellent and fine-tuned. Now we're going to this new world. Eventually, I'm sure they're going to nail it down as well, but in the meantime, ensuring a comfort level where you have trust and security, and you can be assured that this isn't going to unauthorized third parties who are going to track your behavior, those promises we don't have yet.
Well, no, and in fact, marketers will say, This is a bonanza of information, of marketing information, such as, for example, I could be in the neighborhood of a McDonald's where I've used my virtual wallet to buy a cheeseburger or something, and someday they could have a special on cheeseburgers, and they'd send me a note saying, Dale, psst. Come on in for a cheeseburger during the next 2 hours, special price, blah, blah, blah. Now, I don't know. It sounds pretty intrusive to me. I'm not sure I would like that. But then again, if I was really in the mood for a cheeseburger, maybe it's just plain handy.
It really depends. It depends on the individual. But we always say privacy is about control, your ability to control the uses of your information. And in this system, you may welcome that announcement that cheeseburgers are on sale and I'm going to go. That's great. But if you don't want to receive that or you have no interest in it, how do you control the transmission of your data?
I guess if you're concerned about it, you don't build yourself a virtual wallet. Maybe it's that simple.
And at this point, it may be that simple, Dale.
Yeah.
But at this point, we lack the sophistication to be able to control who has access to our data. And the easiest way to avoid it, maybe just to avoid those apps completely.
Although they have that handy sound to them, and you think, gee whiz, it wouldn't be, if I'm searching for a credit card or I'm searching for change to pay for something in cash, and instead I can simply wave my BlackBerry, there's a certain appeal to that in the beginning.
It will appeal to many people. People are saying that for smaller purchases, such as if you're going on the bus, or you're just paying at the a parking lot or the parking, what are they called?
What?
See how often I put change into these parking meters.
It's a meter thing, the machine,
For small purchases, the ease of use is really great. There's ubiquity. You can use it anywhere. So it will attract a certain segment of the population who says, I don't care, so they know where I am. It's so easy. I don't have to, pull for change or get my credit card. Certainly, it will have an appeal for those kinds of individuals. I just caution people that you want to have transparency about who has access to your data and what redress mechanisms are offered to mobile users. Who's liable if things go wrong?
Well, exactly.
Those are very real concerns, and because this is so new, you can bet something's going to go wrong.
I think I draw the line the same place that you do then. For small purchases, it's just plain hand. I have this near-field communication. I've never used it because I don't know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I think, I get a little squeamish about that. I have it there, and I could use it. I'm just not using it. That's all. But for small purchases, the banks say it's up to $50, right?
Yes.
But with the virtual wallet, I can wave my BlackBerry and buy a stove.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming because it's accessed directly to my credit card accounts and I charge it through my phone.
Yeah. Anytime you are using a wireless system, In this case, integrated with a smartphone, possibly social networks are going to get involved in cloud computing. You're going to have some problems arise at the beginning. You know, right now, there are many competing architectures and systems that are vying for this behavior. So imagine at the beginning of the VCRs, you had VHS and Beta competing. So right now, it's at that
I bought level. A Beta.
You bought a Beta. You bought the wrong one. See, this is a problem. And that's the problem. Right now, it's at that stage. So RBC, CIBC, they're all coming out, hopefully in the fall. That's when they're aiming for. It's really early days. So nothing is sorted out. Problems will arise until it's laid down. I mean, there's no question in the future this will be, you know, possibly the only way to go. But right now, be cautious.
But the point is, the only reason, and I'm not trying to ascribe a deep, dark reasoning here, it's just marketing. You know, an awful lot of marketers out there want all of that information so they can specifically market to me or to you based on our usage, right?
Absolutely.
And in principle, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I cannot decide.
Yeah, I think it depends. Like most of these things, it depends on the individual and their particular preferences and their concerns. That's why we say privacy is about control and freedom of choice.
Yeah.
It should be your ability to choose the degree of privacy or the degree of disclosure you want to allow to your information. You know, I always say to people, look, privacy is not like a religion. I'm not going to tell you what to do and you have to do this.
Yeah, sure.
It's your choice, but I want you to be able to preserve your choice when you engage in these new technologies.
But, and here's a scenario, and I can't decide about this one either. So with this new system, my virtual wallet, I walk into, say, a Home Depot. Immediately Home Depot or some part of the system knows that I'm there and says, psst, Dale, second aisle over, we got a great deal on drills. You know, I mean, or some, you know, and this is not beyond, this is not science fiction.
No.
This is something that can be done today, really.
And maybe you would welcome that.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
And, you know, while I'm in Home Depot, I may welcome that if I have an interest in drills or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Once I leave, though, I don't want them to continue targeting me to track my whereabouts using these devices. I want it to stop the minute I'm out of the store.
It's like being shadowed by a private detective or something,
right.
You know.
And many private detectives.
Many, that's right. And if they can shadow you on Tuesday, they can do it Wednesday, Thursday. They can do it all the time. That's it.
Yes, this doesn't turn off.
And imagine what kind of accumulated data that could be collected about a single person year after year. It would be absolutely
endless,
incredible.
Endless. So I'm not going to be leaping to get one of these.
No, I love gadgets, but I don't think I love gadgets that know more about me than I know about me.
No,
sometime.
And I want to, before I use one of these, I want to know where I can say no to the additional collection of my information.
But you're right about some of those apps and things you put on your phones. Getting it on is one thing. Getting it off is like getting something off the bottom of your shoe. It's not that easy.
And it's really hard. I bought something online once, and I gave my credit card for the payment of the good, and I thought that was going to be the end of the story. And then I checked my statement the following month. There's another payment that was removed, and I didn't buy anything else. So then sorting all that out takes forever.
Oh, I know. It's easy to get in, very, very, very difficult to get out.
Yeah.
My guest is Anne Cavucchi, and she is the Information and Privacy Commissioner for the Province of Ontario. We're trying to make some sense of this whole notion of a virtual wallet. What do you think of this whole idea? Is it the ultimate in convenience, or is it simply electronic prying eyes? 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Anne Cavoukian is my guest. She's the Information and Privacy Commissioner for the Province of Ontario. We're trying to figure out these virtual wallets, good idea or bad idea. But I think you hit upon it a few minutes ago, Anne Cavoukian, when you said it's got to be about choice. If we use the virtual wallet and we don't necessarily want all the information that would be collected as a result of the usage, if we have a choice in terms of being marketed, have that stuff come back and be marketed to us, then it would be okay if we had the choice.
Yeah, I totally
agree. In other words, take the convenience part and try to get away from the marketing part.
And that's the problem, that people focus on the convenience part, because you'll be able to centralize all of, you know, one payments card and other data into one digital wallet.
Yeah.
So all of your payment cards, anything, you can put in one digital wallet. You don't have to pull out different cards.
No, it sounds good. That's
so far. People
are very
attracted to that. But also the downside of centralizing all of your payments and digital data onto one app is that that information will also be centrally accessible, all in one location.
They punch in Dale Goldhawk, and it's all right there.
It's all right there. Your life. All your purchases.
Good grief. I don't know about you, but I don't need that to be necessarily mulled about in some dark room somewhere.
It's not that hard operating under the system we have right now, but we're used to it. So.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it's going to go in this direction.
But you know, I mean, and so all the banks, and God bless the banks, are out trying to make a buck, just like a lot of people are rushing into this whole new endeavor, valuing that marketing information, and willing, I guess, to go through the expense of putting all of this in place, knowing the marketing information will pay off down the road when they, in essence, sell it. Or rent it out, or whatever they're going to do. But how does any level of government get involved in making sure that's all going to be okay?
Well, that's a good question. Oversight of the banks hopefully will extend into this area in terms of the existing system. But I should point out, this isn't moving quickly. It was last year that Visa and MasterCard unveiled their digital wallets, but nothing has actually transpired yet. And now we've heard from RBC that they're going to roll this out maybe in the fall.
That's what they're saying now.
It's been going slowly. So for some of these, it's been 12 months, 15 months since their initial launch, and it hasn't materialized yet.
But I mean, I know your office can't play a role in this. That's not your bailiwick. But can even the federal office play a role here?
The Federal Privacy Commissioner's office could involve themselves in oversight. But it's a major, you'd require a lot of resources to do that.
Yeah. But I mean, I know the way you like these things to play out when it comes to privacy, you like it to be built in to any new system as it comes on stream.
Yes.
I don't know if that's going to happen in this case, but that's the way it should be done, right? So you don't have to work.
That's exactly it. We call it privacy by design, so that privacy is embedded by design intentionally into new emerging systems. So this would be an ideal application. But it's really tricky, because one of the things that the digital wallet will do is it will extend functionalities, such as the ability to sync your loyalty cards, your gift cards, your receipts, boarding passes, tickets, you know, things like that, all on one wallet, Google Wallet, for example. So you're going to have all of this stuff in this central location.
And then you lose it.
Oh, God.
No, just imagine the nightmare when you lose it.
Oh, no, it's true. I had a call from a friend who was, they were traveling, this couple, and he said that his wife lost her cell phone at the beginning of the trip, and he lost his going back.
No.
So he's got two cell phones. There's everything they have gone.
Oh, that's incredible. What a nightmare.
What a nightmare. Yeah, imagine all of your things were synced to your cell phone.
Well, it's kind of like having one password for everything in a way, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, God. Which, of course, you mustn't do.
Well, no, of course. That's the first thing that we're cautioned about not doing. But if, in fact, you have one key to everything and it's your mobile device, it's kind of the same thing.
No, absolutely. In the States, the Federal Trade Commission has been holding hearings on mobile privacy, mm-hmm. including these digital wallet apps. And they're really hoping that best practices emerge to guide the industry forward. And the three points they emphasize were there has to be user transparency and effective control. These are very important concerns. And there should be some kind of rigorous mobile device and app development. Maybe certification is needed. Like, how do you know this is a legitimate app and before you download
it? Well, there should be some standard or something, right?
That's right. And that's what they're hoping, that there will be some kind of standards and certification process to give the public and users comfort. And then lastly, they're hoping what will emerge is some visible icons that people will recognize, mm-hmm. representing default settings and prompts on how to use this stuff. So still a lot to be developed.
Well, sure, this is very early stages. I wonder if people, though, you know, the same people who would say to the cashier in a big store, no, you can't have my home phone number, or in my case, you can't even have my postal code. I don't give out any of that. But yet the privacy concerns in the virtual wallet, they're kind of a little more hidden. It isn't as obvious to us as to how that can come back and bite us.
Well, that's right. And that's why it's very much buyer beware. Before you download one of these apps, read the policies carefully. And that's not easy to do. That's mm-hmm. the problem. It's very easy to do the downloading of the app, but then once you want some information about it and how can you control it and say no, opt out of certain uses of your data, good luck.
I have an idea. Why don't we go back to using cash?
You know, I love that. Cash, of course, is the most privacy-protective anonymous form.
It's totally anonymous, isn't it? Yes.
Totally. Yeah. But very few people, I think I read somewhere it's like 7% of the population still use cash.
And in Canada, we are notorious for not using cash.
Yes.
Incredible.
We want the ease of these devices, which I totally understand, but you've also got to be aware of the downside.
Well, and the privacy issues come in two forms, I think. What if somebody, some bad guy, gets his hand on all that information and uses it, for example? What a wonderful way to steal somebody's identity if you had access to this.
Absolutely. We haven't even talked about identity theft.
But imagine how much that would be enhanced if somebody could get into those databases, forget about just being marketed to, and start worrying about having your identity stolen, which is a whole nightmare.
Oh, God. I mean, this should keep everybody away from them, Dale.
Because, you know, identity theft is not going away.
No.
You know that. The police know that.
It's the opposite. Identity theft, it's the fastest growing form of consumer fraud in North America.
Yeah.
It's just off the scale, and it's so easy to perpetrate. I mean, that's part of the problems are one of the reasons why so many people are attracted to the field.
But imagine if you knew everything about me as an identity thief, you could build an incredibly accurate, true-to-life Dale Goldhawk somewhere else.
No, it is so true. A frightful thought.
It's frightful. As frightful as that may seem. Yes.
You know, so much in this area depends on the design and operation of the particular financial payments infrastructure that are going to be imposed, and you have to make sure it's a trustworthy infrastructure. It has to be secure. Many, many questions.
Indeed there are. Ann Cavoukian, thanks very much for shedding some light on all of this for us. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure as always, Dale. All the best.
All right. Take care now.
Okay, bye.
Bye. That's Ann Cavoukian. She is the Information and Privacy Commissioner for the province of Ontario. We're all wondering about these virtual wallets.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.